Welcome to the Global Health Podcast at Georgetown University, where we are charting new directions in health and development. Where here in our nation's capital, we have our hands on the pulse of global health. We bring you conversations with faculty and leaders in the field. From hearing about research in global health, alumni pursuits, and student field research abroad, you'll experience it all here on the Global Health Podcast. In today's podcast, I will be talking with Suji Choi, a double Hoya who graduated from the School of Foreign Service and then continued into the first cohort of the Global Health Master Program, graduating in 2014. She is currently earning a PhD in Public Health, Health Services Research at Boston University's School of Public Health. Her current research focuses on examining how to translate evidence-based policies and interventions into the real-world settings for vulnerable populations, both nationally and globally. Well, hello and welcome to the Global Health Podcast at Georgetown University. Today I have Suji Choi with us. It's a pleasure having you here today. We are here at Georgetown University, where later this afternoon you will be having a luncheon with some current global health students and maybe a prospective student as well. So fortunately for our podcast listeners, we'll get to benefit from hearing some of what you'll be sharing with our students later on. So thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
No, it's my pleasure. I'm so glad to be back and excited to be around global health students.
Thank you. So now, it's no secret that many students, not every student that's come into the program, but most students coming into the program of global health here have had an opportunity to travel and experience a handful of places around the world. So do you have a favorite destination or even a best or funniest travel story that you'd like to share today?
Yeah, sure. So actually, I've had a pleasure in visiting a lot of different countries around Asia and Africa and some Pacific Islands. But I do have an embarrassing moment that I can share. So I was part of a evaluation study for a project in Vietnam. And I was invited, the day we arrived, we were invited to come to dinner along the Bay Area. And I actually got bitten by a mosquito on my forehead, like a huge one. You know, I've never had that happen to me, I swear. And then the day after, and I hadn't noticed much of it during the night, right? And the day after, I was invited to go to their military hospital. And they're big on preparing a ceremony with flowers and an awards for, you know, something, you know, as kind of like a gesture-friendly gesture, right? And, you know, I got like, you know, tens of thousands of pictures taken with mosquito bite on my head, you know.
So
I always, maybe having a concealer, you know, might be really
one
helpful
of those
sometimes.
Things you don't always think of,
right?
Like, oh my word, takes you back to like poor skin in middle school or something, right? But you're like, no, it's just a mosquito bite.
Right. Everyone's asking, you know, like, I'm this girl from abroad with a mosquito bite on the forehead.
On your forehead. Oh, my word. So, no, so later at the luncheon, you'll be meeting with students to share kind of your experiences and searching for and securing a job in global health, along with telling students about some of your current work and PhD studies at Boston University. So can you begin by just sharing about your path to Georgetown? You're a double Hoya who pursued an undergraduate education in the School of Foreign Service and then a Master's of Science in Global Health and now a PhD in Public Health. So what do you, can tell us about your path and then what do you see as the important connection for you in all of these programs of study?
So I'm proud to be a double Hoya. I've always been interested in doing research, and I actually took an elective course here during my undergrad with Professor Gilson in global health research and fell in love with it. threw my 4 years of study out the door, not out the door, but decided to apply for the MSGH program here because I knew how much capacity we had in the faculty and just different connections around the world. And it was a natural course for me to kind of go for a health policy and financing track. Yeah. I was really interested in the effectiveness of official development aid at the time and was interested in interning at the World Health Organization. So I ended up here, got exposed to a lot of core, courses that would be needed for a global health researcher. Also, as a natural path, I wanted to continue doing research. And at the time, and still now, it seemed like a PhD was a prerequisite to continue further research. So I decided to kind of go with it and apply for PhD programs.
Wow. Did you have a favorite course while you were here in the MSGH program?
So it is very difficult because at the time I was like a new global health student and everything was just, I was just so curious about different methods. I didn't enjoy my SAS skills back, you know, during then. But I did really like the quantitative research side. So I liked biostats, I liked epidemiology and also health systems courses.
They have a really great course selection where you have kind of this overview of global health and then the ability to specialize in kind of that second part. So that's interesting. Now, as you are faced with just various paths in your academic and professional career, what were some of the key motivators for making the decisions that you made?
So I think one of the big motivators for me was the location of the opportunities because I felt like being in a central area for global health or public health would lead to the next opportunities. So I that was one of the key factors that I thought of when I was choosing making my decisions. And intrinsically also, I think I was motivated by my curiosity to learn more and always kind of trying to think about what hasn't been answered in the past.
That is really interesting. So now, do you like the DC area here?
I love DC area. I just flew in from Chicago. And you know, it was 60 degrees here yesterday.
It was very nice. And now you're studying up in Boston, which is they've gotten quite the winter up in New England.
I'm just glad I'm here today.
You're here today enjoying the sun. So also in the field here, now there's just an increasing trend in crunching big data in areas of research and business. You're currently working as a data analyst and research scientist. So what is so attractive to you about data analysis?
I think I really was drawn to the power of big data and sometimes how it's important to leverage that big data to transform policymaking decisions and the healthcare as a whole. And I also do believe in the importance of evidence-based research and evidence-based policymaking. And also, on the practical side, I thought it would be a huge asset to have going forward as a global health researcher.
And I think it's really interesting, too, because some people come into global health thinking, I'm not going to be in the U.S., but you've really found a way to combine global health, public health, data analysis, and research science. So I think that's really exciting to see how you've combined all of this. So now, if someone listening today is also interested in data analysis as it relates to health professions and global health or public health, what are some important factors that you think they should consider?
Yep. So coming in, I also thought of data analysis as being, it may sound boring to some people.
Like, oh no.
Right. You know, you're right. Sitting behind a desk, always crunching numbers, writing SAS codes.
Right.
But, you know, it may sound boring at first, but I think once you get immersed into it, it's actually really some kind of creative art. So you're creating your code, you're creating and hypothesis testing. And I feel like you have to keep trying, you know, and not be afraid of numbers. So I just kept trying, you know, rewriting different codes.
Well, that's very interesting. It is, it's a very unique area that I think is very needed in the area of global health. So, and that I think there are some unique people that fit that track. And so now, what are the biggest challenges and stressors for you as a professional, as a student? Obviously, you've done a lot. So how do you seek to cope and overcome?
Yeah, so I think the biggest challenges was that I just enjoyed too many different kinds of research topics, and it really took time for me to really decide on what I wanted to do. And it was just a lot of trial and error. But I think it's kind of similar to my last answer, that, you know, I have to keep my head up and keep trying different new things. And also seek advice. Go talk to your professors. Go talk to, you know, global health individuals who are, you know, there are a lot of professionals around this area. You know, go out and reach out. I think everyone's excited to talk about their job and share their experiences.
I've found that here. It's not as scary to reach out and talk to somebody as you might think. So that actually kind of leads to the next question I wanted to ask. I was just really impressed by the number of research assistantships that you've taken and some of the publications that you've had. So I think a lot of people want to know, how did you obtain those opportunities to really contribute to the academic community? Did some of these opportunities find you while you were here at Georgetown? Do you have strong networking skills? You know, what connections did you have, and how did that lead to some of the positions that you've had?
Yeah, so I think networking is key to finding the jobs that you like, especially because they might look great on paper, but you know,
sit down and do 8 hours a day, right?
So I think it's really important to talk to individuals who are already in the field, who've been in that position, to kind of find out if it's a right fit for you first. And I was able to do that here. I talked to a lot of different faculties, just scheduled an appointment to discuss, you know, my ideas and some of the opportunities. And I think once, I think it's difficult and it might seem challenging at first, but I think as your career develops kind of, you'll be surprised how small this world is and how everyone's connected to one another. And I also find a lot of the social media very helpful in this in this regard as well. You know, being on LinkedIn, recently started doing Twitter, you know, there are different ways now to connect with individuals that you would never have encountered. So I think we should take more advantage of those tools.
That's great advice. And now, when you were in the Masters of Global Health program here, a huge part of this program is your field research project. And you had the opportunity to work with the World Health Organization in Manila. Can you speak about your field research and then how that even turned into a consultancy afterwards?
Yeah, sure. So I applied to go to the World Health Organization Western Pacific Regional Office based in the Philippines, in Manila. And I was part of the their MVP team, malaria, vector-borne, and other parasitic diseases. Mm-hmm. And my main task was to do descriptive analysis of the malaria indicator survey that had been done in the Pacific Islands, okay. Mainly Vanuatu.
Okay.
It's a small island with 200,000 people
wow.
in the Pacific Islands. And that, you know, I didn't know much about malaria at the time, but I was fascinated by different stories and papers on using insecticide nets and using mm-hmm. Health promotion behavior, like theories to kind of talk about how to change individuals' behaviors.
Okay.
And when I got there, I just worked very diligently and... at the end of my internship, they asked me to come back, if possible, to work on similar tasks for the Solomon Islands, which is a bigger
bigger project for sure.
But it was basically kind of doing similar kind of work, and being paid.
Yes. So you do your field research for the program, but
right.
then it worked right out into an opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting. And it was something that you enjoyed. You feel like that helped move you forward in your career, in your education?
Yes, yes. Yeah. I think it's definitely one of those projects where you need to immerse yourself in, you know, mm-hmm. like to write a whole report, you know, it takes time. There are different skills that you develop. You develop your writing skills, data analysis skills, just, and also perseverance.
Yeah. You learn some of that. In doing some interviews with other alumni, they said resilience and perseverance is a skill you learn in the program. So now, even with a global health degree, you found ways to use your education here in the USA. So can you briefly tell us about your current research to assist the state of New York with analyzing data that's related to their service to patients with substance abuse disorders, HIV/AIDS, severe mental illness, and other chronic health conditions?
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure. So I think in terms of my New York project, I mean, New York in itself is a very diverse state.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't really differentiate my work in terms of global health versus public health.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think of like global health is public health in their
yeah.
own countries.
Mm-hmm.
So when I applied for the position at the Center for Addiction, I was tasked to be a part of a health homes evaluation project, which is a care management program, part of the DSRIP in the New York State. And I was analyzing Medicaid claims data to kind of see what kind of health services the patients were utilizing in terms of their substance use disorder or other chronic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lot of work related to analysis, data analysis, using big data to mm-hmm. make recommendations to the state and guiding them on future directions. And it's been fascinating to kind of see some of my evaluation research kind of informing policymaking.
That is really exciting. And now you're doing that as at the same time as you're pursuing a PhD. So how is that working? And do you find that you have time to do it all? And maybe speak a little bit just to what you're currently doing in your PhD.
Yeah, sure. So time management is huge. Yeah. I haven't taken a vacation in a long time. but I think it's really exciting to be able to study academically as well as see it being applied to the real world. Yeah. So I also try to bridge my work with my studies as well. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of learning new ideas and learning about new conceptual models that could apply for my analysis and kind of going back and forth in that way. And I'm currently on a T32, kind of related in a related area of substance abuse, HIV, and hepatitis C. Mm-hmm. So it's been just a lot of work towards kind of helping promote different programs and evidence-based strategies for vulnerable populations.
Wow, that's really exciting. Now, with all you've accomplished, do you have an end goal or a dream job you're hoping to pursue in the future?
Yeah, I'm still thinking. Yeah. just like many of the students here, mm-hmm. I know that I really like doing research. I would like for my research to be translatable to practice and also be a part of implementing those evidence-based programs or policies. Mm-hmm. I guess my end goal is to make sure that whatever kind of work I do, that it becomes valuable and beneficial to patients or vulnerable populations, yeah. both in the U.S. and hopefully abroad.
Globally, yeah, that's exciting. And just to end our time together today, I personally am always on the lookout for a good book recommendation, and I like to ask my guests to give their all-time favorite or a recent good read.
Yeah, so I should confess that I really didn't have time to do an enjoyable reading, but I would like to recommend Freshwater by Amezi.
Okay.
So it's, I don't want to give too much away.
Okay.
But I actually read that as a part of a requirement for a global mental health course at Boston University. Okay. And it talks about how one girl's traumatic assault and experience in her childhood leads to kind of her alternate selves and just talks about mental health from a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You kind of get to be in her shoes and kind of learn how her life kind of planned out after experiencing
a traumatic situation. Yeah. Wow, we'll definitely have to look into that when I have more free time as well, right? Yeah. Well, thank you again so much just for spending some time here with us today. It's such a pleasure just hearing a bit of your story, and I wish you the best of luck in all your future endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Global Health Podcast, brought to you by the Department of International Health here at Georgetown University. We welcome you to learn more by visiting our website at globalhealthms.georgetown.edu or by following us on Facebook at Georgetown University's Masters of Science in Global Health.